Twitter, like, if you just don't buy a coffee every day, you'll have all, like,
right.
nah, I don't mean it like that, but I just mean it in the sense of, like, if you really want something, if you really prioritize it, you can achieve anything you want. It just comes at a cost, and that cost is going to be time, that cost is going to be, you know, other activities, and I just don't think people always, they say they want things, but I'm not sure that they always are willing to put in the work to get there. And as an athlete, right, as someone who's been in the grind for so long, I said I knew exactly how I was going to get there, and it wasn't going to happen overnight, you know, and it came at the, you know, at the expense of a lot of sacrifice. But once I finally got in that cockpit and sat there behind the controls, it confirmed everything that I had already known. I feel like in a lot of ways, you know, like, some things we're just put on this earth to do, right? There's a reason why this thing has stuck with me so long. I've had a million hobbies. I played a million sports. I've done a million different activities, but this is the one that I always come back to, right? This is the one that lives rent-free in my head. This is what I go to bed sleeping about and what I wake up thinking about, you know? And I think, so I put together, I figured it out and I got there and it confirmed that for me. And ever since then, I've been all gas, no brakes. You know, I was even flying this morning. I had actually had an exam, or more of a stage check, but, you know, I had to go out there and show that my, different instructor, not my primary instructor. So a guy I don't normally fly with, I had to go show him my landings and show him my maneuvers and show him all this stuff to make sure that I was up to par. But, and I'll let you hop back in with the question, but, it's just one of those things where, you know, I think it's easy to see this as a temporary thing or Nico decided to do this recently. As where I see it, it's like, it's the result of, you know, of a 15, 20 year long journey that, you know, I finally was able to accomplish. And the great thing about it is I always say, like, every day I'm a little bit closer to my goal, but I'm still a million miles away because I keep moving the goal, right? I keep moving the goalposts. So in a lot of ways, you know, I guess what I joked earlier about space, right? Because that's something that I would have never thought was attainable. I devoted the first 25 years of my life just to getting behind the stick. And now I'm like, okay, well, give me another 25 years. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I say that jokingly, but again, it's always about pushing yourself and holding yourself to the highest possible standard.
Well, you took one big step. You got in the helicopter, so you're already closer to space than you were a couple of years ago. Like, if you really want me, like, you're a couple of miles up in the air, man. So I'll say that. You know, yeah. I think it's awesome just to see, you know, just your passion through flying, because just me looking at it from the outside in, I dare say you look happier in that cockpit than you ever did on the soccer field. Like, I just see so much energy and even just talking to you about it right now, like, it's obvious this means so much to you. And it's not, and you are where you are right now because of the mindset you've always had. You know, since you made that decision, hey, I'm going to use my gifts to make the most out of life for myself. And, you know, I think it's such an amazing story how, you know, you didn't let someone take you away from getting, you know, getting into flight. You know, that 21-year-old pilot, you mean that pilot who told you, hey, man, you know, you might want to keep this on the back burner. Because I've had people run into my life and told me that too when it came to journalism, where they're like, hey, you know, you think you want to get in this field? Like, why do you want to be in this field? It's X, Y, Z. And I'm like, you know, it can be really discouraging, especially when you're at a young age. You're like, yeah, like, we know it's difficult, but, you know, this is what brings me joy and fulfillment. And it's where I want to be. And I think there's nothing wrong with putting anything on pause because, you know, like you're saying, like, you know, life is a journey. And I think there's this stigma that we have to figure our lives out in our 20s. And that's just not true. Like, if the average human life is supposed to be in the late 70s, early 80s, you think about our lives, right? Most of us have been on autopilot for the first 17, like, literally plain language, right? We've been on autopilot the first 17, 18 years. You don't choose where you go to high school, elementary school, whatever. It's not really till you turn 18 and you graduate high school that it really starts to unfold. If you go to college and you're in an institution for another 4 or 5 years right afterwards, then even more. You're not starting until you're like 22, 23, 24. And so you really don't even start making a decision until you're in your mid, late 20s. So how can you expect me to have it all figured out by then? And even then, it's just like, I could go for the, you know, what, like, it doesn't end when you turn 30. It like, there's so much you could do at 30, 35, 45, 50. if you just keep living and apply the process. And that's where I think your, you know, your work ethic has given you a big example of, you can do so many things as long as you have the right mindset and process to understand it's about the just, it's about the journey. It's about the journey, not the destination. Cause life doesn't end at 40, 50, you know, 30. So it's like, you know,
to your point, I'm watching the two most recent astronauts who went up were both over 50 years old. Don't get me wrong, they've had a long career of science and technology and space flight. But my point being is, like, if 50-year-olds are going to space, like, we have some time left to play. You know what I'm saying?
We do have time. Like, it's just, you know, like, you talk to people who are in their 30s and their 40s, and they'll tell you that you're still just a child. Like, it doesn't end. And I think that that puts a lot of pressure on people like ourselves to choose one thing and stick with it. And that, like, that's just not how life works. Like, there's things that you are learning right now through flight that you didn't learn, that you didn't learn on the soccer field, that you didn't learn through activism or in college. And it's helping you apply and become a better person every day because of it. Had you not had the courage and the guts to invest in your passion, to realize, hey, I got time to do this, and I'm going to use my time to do this and not worry about the short-term gratification of the shorts. Cause that's what it really is. And you talked about this earlier where it's like, I think the reason why you don't see a lot of people investing in their dreams is because we're slaves to that Instagram, social media gratification, the adrenaline rush of being, everybody wants to be a social media influencer now. They want the fame, they want the clout, they want the XYZ. And if you're not getting those things a couple months early in, people give up. But the other side of it too is nobody wants to be laughed at. I think the fear of rejection hurts even so much to a point where you won't start, because you don't want to be the nail that stands up and gets hammered down, whether you're starting your own business or you're starting a new career path, you make the announcement. Because if you do and it doesn't work out, now you're worried about people laughing at you on social media, talking about you in bad space or whatever. And the reality is, it's like, none of us got it figured out, man. So you might as well go down fighting for what you want to do and what you believe in, because the worst thing that you're going to have at the end of it is regret. Regret is the one thing that you'll, like, you know, you talk, like, I know older people in my life, and they're at that point in their life where they don't have much time left, and they have regrets. You won't regret life if you spend your 20s and 30s and 40s doing what you want to do for yourself, as opposed to being conservative because you don't want to look bad. Maybe it's just one bad break away from getting over there, and everything that you've done in your life is proof that you just keep grinding away, and you don't worry about the time or the clock or the invisible audience in the room, and you'll get to a place of joy and fulfillment. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt and it will be painful, but it's going to be authentic to you, and you'll be able to wake up with the energy to be able to do it. But, you know, you got to tell me, man. So, like, where do you go to? I feel like I went on a whole other tangent. I didn't mean to get on too.
No, I actually have some. I was going to hop back in real quick before your question. And I was just,
hop in, man. Like,
yeah, I was just going to say, right, like, you make so many great points about, you know, everyone, you know, wants to live out this influencer lifestyle without, you know, and they're scared of risk, they're scared of failure. And, like, this goes back to your original question when you were, like, talking through some of your highlights, and I'm like, I love the process. I love to fail, right? And it's like, yeah, okay, great. Like, yeah, I've hit over 150 landings. Like, I came in today with probably three of my cleanest ones ever. But the first time I landed an airplane, we were bouncing all over the place, right? And it's like, I'm not afraid to say that, because we all suck at everything we do the first time. Yeah. First time you learn how to play an instrument, guess what? You probably suck. First time you learn how to shoot a basketball, you probably suck. The only thing is, so much of us have had these talents for so long, or we've developed these skills for so long, that we forget what it was like to suck, because we were learning, you know, when we were 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, right? When it's socially acceptable to be bad at things. So people have a hard time then trying to do that as an adult or a young adult.
Right.
And it's just one of those things where I always say, like, you know, I had to write 1,000 articles before anyone even read, you know, one, right? I had to land a plane 100 times, you know, like shit, in order to now do it perfectly every single time, right? And it's like, it's just one of those things where, you know, I'm a beast. I'm obsessed with the process. And I think if there's one takeaway, that I've never met anyone who's ever failed at anything, who's just persisted at it, right? I know athletes who've played D3 and have gone now playing pro, right? I know guys, and it doesn't matter where you start, but if you just continually put in that work, you will get to where you're going. And I feel like so many people either are afraid to start or they walk away before they've actually realized their potential. And that's one big thing. Like, I think, you know, this journey is long, and it's just important to keep that in mind. I also look back, right? And I look back at my 21-year-old self. That guy, I would never want that guy in an airplane. that guy was unhinged. Right? Oh. Like, you know what I mean? That's not a guy who should be leading men, right? I was barely qualified to coach high schoolers back then. You know what I mean? And it's not that I didn't have these same passions or attributes in me then, but it's just, you know, you do so much growing and you look back, like, you know, I see college kids now and I'm like, oh my God, you guys are babies. I see high school kids and I'm like, yeah. Jesus. I'm like, you guys are like infants. Yeah. You know what I mean? To think that was us, you know, only 3, 4, 5 years ago is astonishing. So to always kind of take stock of that and realize, you know, not to get religious, but, you know, in a sense, like, you know, quote unquote, God's plan, so to speak, right? It's like, you know, you realize that every step along the way, every failure, I remember looking back and failing at UMass and feeling like such a failure, only to realize, only for me to end up at Emerson and that being the best experience of my life. You know, we'll get to it, but, you know, Harvard never happens if I stay at UMass, right? And so what at one time was the biggest L I thought I was taking ends up being, you know, the path to one of my biggest successes, right? And at the time, right, 21 years old, you know, I'm frustrated because things aren't going my way. But now looking back, I probably know I wouldn't have thrived in that situation, that environment. I'm the kind of guy, it takes me, you know, if it takes you 5 minutes to learn something, it takes me 10. You know, I'm after the 10 minutes, though, I'm going to whoop your ass. But it takes a little longer for me to get there sometimes. And that's true for me in the classroom. That's true for me, you know, on the field. And I think, you know, looking back, you know, I needed to learn these skills in an environment that allowed me to fail, and learning to fly on the civilian side, right, is, you know, it's just, it's allowed me that opportunity. It's allowed me that little extra room to grow and to learn. And I think I'm forever thankful for it, because now I'm just focused on doing the best possible flying that I can do. And I've completely detached myself kind of from that end goal. So with that being said, I just, you know, if you really are passionate about something, you just got to give it your all. You can't give up. You got to stick to the plan, and you got to realize, you know, you got to have the self-control to realize that even if it feels like an L in the moment, it will present itself as a win in the future.
I'll just to piggyback off you said, then I want to ask just a technical question about the flying, but, you know, even if it's just like, if you had to fail 30 times and then you knew that by the 50th time you'd be exactly where you'd want to be, the rhetorical question, would you do it? Because some people will fail once, but they're not willing to fail multiple times, because then it feels like they're going further down. But it's like, I guess it's one of those things where if you expect to live to 35, 45, 55, mm-hmm. you know, why not use that time to invest in your passion? It doesn't have to come tomorrow. It doesn't have to come next year, because you're either going to be investing in something that you want to do later on, or you're not going to invest in it, and you're going to just be miserable and unhappy during that time anyways. You're going to, God forbid, there's no disease that takes you out or anything like that. You're going to end up living those years. So if you're willing to grind and put in the next 5, 10 years, 15 years for your dream, why not take that? It doesn't matter. Exactly. If you just why not take that? Because either way, you're going to be around for that, but I guarantee you're going to feel happier investing in what gives you joy and fulfillment than taking the conservative route and not investing it. Because when you get old, like when you really get to that point where you can't take care of stuff anymore, then it's really going to kick in and you'll be like, damn. See, at 45, I didn't realize that at 35 or even 40 that I still could have done that, because I'd love to be 45 and, you know, being a full-time pilot or being a broadcast journalist, I don't know, at CNN, if all I had to do was just put my hand in the dirt from 25 to 35, because I'd still be doing what I love, just going to have my hand in the dirt and working a little bit harder at it. But real quick, Nico, I want to know, so like where are you? So you're in flight school right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like, is this like at a, is this location where you get in the pod? Is it in Massachusetts?
Yeah, so it's at Hanscom Field or Hanscom Air Force Base. God, yeah, wow. So it's only 20 minutes outside the city. Yeah. You know, every time we're up in the air, you know, you can see the Boston skyline. Mm-hmm. It's right there. You know, so not far at all. And it's also just great too, because you know, it's the second biggest airport in Mass. Mm-hmm. It's also an Air Force base, so you know, you're not just, you know, it's not some mom and pop show where you're just, oh, hop in my little plane, I'm gonna take off. You know, I landed behind a C-130 the other day, and they were like, get the hell out of the way, you know? You know what I mean? So like, you know, you're interacting with air traffic control, you know, you're learning, you know, how to navigate in busy, you know, different classifications of airspace. And they always say, you know, if you can fly here, you can fly anywhere. So it's a great experience.
So do you have to serve in the Army or military to be okay, so you don't have to?
No, this is civilian school. So it's, you know, it's also a civilian airport. It just happens to double as an Air Force base. So yeah, no, right now I'm in, you know, it's just, you know, there are some people who have gone on to do that kind of work. But no, right now I'm just flying to get my private license.
Yeah,
that's the first step. The first run.
I was gonna say, I know you want to get into space, but you know, flying wise, like, you know, because you talked about how you'd want to be in the Air Force. Is that something that you still thinking, like Air Force, as far as where, like what would be a future step? Are you more thinking, you know, maybe you flying like JetBlue or something like that before space? We know you're gonna be in space someday, but I want to know.
I love it.
In space, do you want to fly JetBlue, or do you want to fly, you know, I don't know, above, you know, above wherever World War III is going to be, you know.
I may not have a choice in that one. They might come knocking at the door. That's a great question. I think the old me would have had a specific answer for you. I think the me currently is just interested in doing the best possible flying as he can. However, I'm always someone that's going to push to be the best of the best, or at least, you know, in competition with the best of the best. And with that said, I think, you know, whether it's the civilian, the JetBlue, which again, respectfully, like I used to think of those guys as glorified bus drivers. Mm-hmm. I now realize those guys are like the NBA of pilots. Seriously, like the technical understanding and the level of training that goes in to being, you can't just walk into it and apply, you know, do a job like JetBlue. Those guys are sought after and recruited. But with that being said, you know, those guys are, like I said, you know, some of the 1% of pilots. And then, of course, you have the military, which is on the cutting edge of both technology and just, you know, the literal planes themselves, right? Yeah. Like cutting edge of flying, you know, flying faster than the speed of sound, et cetera, et cetera. So with that being said, no, I don't have an end goal. But as someone who wants to operate with the best, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I find my way back to that world eventually.
Yeah, I know once you get to space, you and Jeff Bezos over there, you guys are going to be taking selfies. And
that's your guy. That's not my guy. Now I'm playing.
we call him Jeff Bozo around these parts.
Yeah. for real.
You know, speaking of moving at the speed of sound, though, Nico, we got to talk about a place that you used to run laps around the campus, and now you've just been accepted into their program. I can't tell you how happy I was when I saw that status you posted on Instagram about you getting into one of Harvard's educational programs. I forgot exactly which one it was. I tried looking for the screen.
No worries.
I want you to have the floor to talk about, you know, you getting accepted into Harvard. You know, was it what program was it? And tell me about just, you know, what that means to you and just how did we get to that point?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. So again, I'm going to be studying, getting my master's at the School of Education. And while there, I'm going to be doing a graduate program called Education Leadership organizations and entrepreneurship, which again, listening to this conversation is kind of everything that it's a fusion of all my passions and all my work thus far, right? You know, I'm someone who believes that education is, you know, I have no interest in being a teacher, right? I think of education in a more liberal sense, right? It's just like, how can I go out into the world and share my passions, right? How can I develop people? How can I empower people, right? I see myself as an educator the same way I see myself as a coach, the same way I see myself as a mentor or a community organizer, someone who's bringing people together and saying, this is what's going on. You know, here's what I know, and I'm here to learn from you as well. So a lot of times people get confused, like, they're like, why are you going to the ed school? And I'm like, because I am an educator. I think people don't always see that because I don't fit into that teacher role. But again, even in journalism, I'm always going back. You know, I'm giving, you know, lectures and doing workshops with the high school kids. I'm going back to my college and talking to them about, you know, organizing and leadership, you know. So I've always been someone who wants to share their gifts and share as much as about me that I came with the world. And vice versa, I'm also always here to learn. I always say, like, my religion is people. You know, I love people. I think you couldn't be a journalist and not. But we just have so much to learn from each other that I want to be in an environment where I can learn to best utilize that and kind of, again, transition from, those different worlds more seamlessly. And of course, the leadership thing is a no-brainer. You know, the organizations, like, that's going to play into, you know, my political stuff, like learning how to better navigate that space and not just navigate it, but also, you know, lead and be a voice inside of it. And then, of course, entrepreneurship, people always think of that as, you know, as a business, right? Oh, I'm a small business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. No, that means so much more. Being an entrepreneur is someone who's a self-starter, right? And if that's not clear after listening to, you know, this podcast, and I don't know what it is, right? Like, I pride myself on being a self-starter in everything that I do. So to kind of get that, you know, right now I think I'm very raw. I think I'm very passionate. I have all these different, you know, ideas and projects and passions. But I'm hoping that through a more formal education, I can start to tighten it all together and kind of find, you know, if all my interests are a Venn diagram, I'm hoping this degree is that middle section where it comes, you know, all together, where everything meets at once.
Yeah, and that's okay, Nico. It's okay to be new and raw at something, because there's always going to be a seat at the table for greatness. It doesn't matter if you're 27, 35, 45, 55. If there's someone out there who has the ability, the influence to get the job done, there's always going to be a seat at the table for that person, for people who can get results. But the one thing that you've taught people here tonight is that it's about the process. The stage might look different, the arena might look different, but what's guiding you into Harvard, what's allowed you to be an educator, an activist, a journalist, is your work ethic and mindset in all those places. It would be, I could not wrap this up without talking to you about journalism, because.
Well, and real quick, I'll just say too, like, just before we pivot from the Harvard stuff, like, yeah.
The journalism part is part of it, but.
My bad. I should have known.
Because I feel like I should have talked more about the journalism stuff earlier.
You're good.
I was like,
this is a natural flowing conversation, man. Yeah. This is great. While you're thinking of your question, I'll just say that, you know, I'm not someone who is always on this path, right? I think I could have been, right? But I wasn't, right? And, you know, I didn't have the best grades in high school, right? I didn't have the best test scores. And then I got to college and, you know, I again, found a way to sneak out of there with exactly a 3.0, right? No less, no more, right? And, you know, it's not to say that I wasn't Harvard material from the very beginning. I would never describe myself as a stupid individual, a stupid man. But again, I just always want to, you know, I always want to be honest about that, because I think a lot of times people will assume without knowing me, without knowing my story, that things are just playing out the way they're supposed to. And no, I think throughout my experience, you know, there's been these key moments where I've said, no, you know, I'm going to go a different direction. No, I'm going to take a leap of faith. No, I'm going to push myself. And it's all of those things that come together that make up this experience. And again, as I said before, and I'll cap it here, right? Like, you look back and you think about all these little L's, right? You know, not being, you know, good enough to compete at UMass or all these things. Those are my words, but still, that's how I felt. And then, you know, or coming to Emerson and doing this. But when I look at, you know, how I got into Harvard, I'm writing about the experiences that I learned at Emerson. You know, when I look at my career in journalism, as we're going to pivot, you know, those are experiences that I got, right? One thing leading to another. And it's one big continuous story that each, you know, each fiber is tied together in a way that, you know, culminates in something like a Harvard acceptance. So I say all I have to say is just, you know, whatever, you know, whatever you want out of things, you know, you just have to find a way to get there, and recognize that, you know, every aspect of your story, no matter if it's a win or a loss, is a part of you. It makes you unique and an individual, and it adds to your greatness, because no one else has had that experience. No one else has gone that path. Your path is your path for a reason. And it's about finding a way to celebrate that experience and that individuality and making it into something that's tangible.
And those, you know, like you were saying, those mistakes and how you react to them are what shape you who you are. You were saying this before, but the other perception I think people get mistaken is, you think that someone who's at a higher, who gets to the top, is there because they never had L's. They all had L's at some point, but they didn't let those L's hold them back. Whether it's you missing a penalty kick and you letting that kill you for the rest of the game or the season, or the Nico that, you know, kicked himself in the butt for the next 12 hours, but then he went back out to hit 100 shots and kept going and finish out the season strong. It's those decisions that you make in those moments that determine whether you go through door one, which is the dead zone, or door two, which is the stairway to heaven. And, you know, you've talked to, you know, like your experience, it just shows that you passed by Harvard. You grew up passing by Harvard every single day on your way to high school, man. Like, and, you know, it just, now you're having a chance. Like, to me, you're educating Harvard. Like, Harvard's lucky to have you. You're going to be educating them, because no one in that room, I guarantee you, has a story like yours. And, you know, your character and what you brought to the table like that, you know, I mean, what was that? You know, let me keep the German stuff for later, because I feel like that is too much of a pivot. But, you know, just, I guess, like, what are you feeling right now? You know, what was it like when you got that email, man? Like, Harvard is tough to get into, whether it's undergrad or grad. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I will say, though, it's funny because, you know, it's never going to be enough, right? People are always going to, your critics and naysayers are always going to find a way to work in their, you know, their hate or their, you know, diminishment of your accomplishments. So, you know, it's just interesting, you know, and we even see it right now, you know, in the conversation or the, you know, or on the Supreme Court justice and mm-hmm. in her time, you know, Harvard and all this kind of, everyone's always playing this game. But I will say it's an amazing experience. And you're right. You can't take that away from anyone who's achieved it. I think the big thing for me is, you know, they gave me a full ride, right? They're not just paying for my tuition, right? They're also giving me a stipend, which means they're literally paying me to attend this school. Right. And I think that's amazing. But what I hear from that, though, is right. And I say this respectfully, if you know, if Harvard's listening, is that it's come to a point in my life where Harvard needs me more than I need Harvard. Right. And I think that's the real poetic justice of it. You know, and I think I'd be lying to you, like you said, if I said that I didn't spend my whole childhood looking up to these places, you know, playing on their fields, you know, running on their track, you know, taking classes or, you know, doing high school events, going to their museums, right, on their campus, and not wanting to be a part of it. But the truth is, I think we fall into these narratives. And a lot of times as kids, like you said, we're on autopilot, and mm-hmm. we get put into these tracks, oftentimes that aren't even ours, right? Someone says, oh, Rich, you're good at math, but you suck at writing, right? Oh, Nico, you know, like, yo, you're an athlete, you're not a student, yeah. right? And we fall into these narratives, right? We fall into these narratives that other people assign to us. And then one day you wake up and, you know, hopefully it's still young in your career, but we know adults who are still living by these narratives that were assigned to them. But you wake up one day and you say, hold on, wait, I can be a student too. I can have more than one identity, right? Yeah. Oh, you know what? Yeah, I am a better writer than I am a mathematician, but you know what? If I study a little more, if I apply myself, or if I find a new way to learn, right? Maybe it's not the best way to learn in a classroom, but maybe if I go and watch videos on YouTube, I can comprehend it in a more visual way, right? So again, we fall into these traps. And I think for a long time, and I also, before I continue, I also said the racial trap, right? Mm-hmm. You say, you know, you may be a smart guy, you're a smart brother, but you look at Harvard, you say, oh, they're never gonna let my ass in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that stuff, again, we talk about representation, like that stuff compiles over time. Mm-hmm. You know, it compounds and it almost creates a false perception of yourself. I think that's one of the hardest things that, you know, when I say I decided to stop wasting my gifts, what I really meant is I decided to break the narratives about who I thought I was and what, you know, what I thought I had to offer. So when I say all that to say, you know, it means a lot, you know, growing up in this city, walking these streets, seeing it every day, you know, seeing our classmates go off there, and now finally being a part of the club. But, you know, and this is something that I wrote my essay about when I applied, but, you know, I'm not here just because I'm in the club now. You know, I have no interest in keeping anyone out. I'm here to open up the floodgates and to share my story and to share my experience and to make people realize that, you know, there are 1,000 Nikos out there. There are 1,000 Richards out there. They gave me the mic. They gave you the pen. But that doesn't mean that there's not a million other people just like us who are waiting for the same opportunity. And I'll end here by saying, you know, we saw the article come out, I think it was in the New York Times, it was in a couple other major publications, right? Harvard finally admitted their ties to slavery. Now, they're not doing anything about it. Right? They're not putting their checkbook on the line. Right? Let's call it what it is, right? But again, acknowledgement is the first step. So again, even furthermore, to be a part of an institution like that, that goes back, you know, to the beginning of time, that's seen more presidents than any other college in the country, right? To be a part of that elite circle, it means something, especially as a young, you know, man of color. So I think overall, you know, there's the Cambridge perspective, but there's also the, you know, the national perspective as well. And just saying, you know, I'm like everything, like flying, like soccer, I'm just here to keep breaking these barriers. And, you know, I hope to take the hardest possible way, so that other people can then have the, you know, the path of least resistance.
Absolutely. You know, a wise man, you know, said this to me a while back, and there's never a negative, like there's never a negative reason to invest in education. I think I double negative that, but what I'm trying to say is it's never a bad thing to invest in further education. So I don't know how anybody could say that it, you know, could question why you'd be going for your master's. Having education under your belt can only make you a stronger individual, you know, and you're moving up. And the other thing I wanted to add was, even if you don't know, one of the things that I think definitely changed in the latter half of my 20s recently is, you know, I thought that in my late teens and early 20s that you had to have a goal early and lock into it and commit to it all the way. Like I remember when I graduated college and I was just really struggling to cope with life. And I met a girl who was like in her early 30s and she had switched careers like 5 times already and was about to make a career change again. And she was really encouraging me by letting me know, hey, Rich, you know, like, it's okay. Like, we got a long life to live. And, you know, as long as, you know, you're willing to have a positive mindset and put in the time and the work, life's going to open doors for you. And so I think it doesn't matter whether I want to be in journalism forever, whether you want to be whether you want to be a pilot forever. What matters is the fact that we're going to be open, honest, and willing to work and grind and step out of our comfort zones in whatever that may be. And I say this to everyone listening, like, it doesn't matter if you don't know what you want to do with the rest of your life. Because sometimes being too locked into one thing can be dangerous too. What I've realized in recent years is what matters is your approach to your mindset about the unknown. You can either be afraid of the unknown and not move, or you can take the unknown as an opportunity to grow and do something different, whether that's moving to a new state, moving to a new city, I don't know, going out on a date with someone from a culture or racial background you've never dated before, or going back to school, trying a new career path, you know, anything like that. Just going to a new place to eat for once. It's all about the mindset of going to the unknown. You can still be afraid and have anxiety. That's fine. That's human. It's the unknown. But what matters is how you face the unknown. As long as, and I think like talking to you, Nico, I'm like, man, Nico's like the Nick Cannon of Cambridge, you know?
Nah.
I'm gonna say this, right?
I
feel like Nick Cannon gets a bad rap because people don't think he's a good rapper. It doesn't matter if Nick Cannon might not be a good rapper. Nick Cannon is successful in just about everything that this man does. He's a business owner. He's an activist. The guy has put so many people on. You know, this man has created so many opportunities. I mean, well, damn, maybe I shouldn't say Nick Cannon because he's got some real bad controversies.
I was gonna joke and say Will Smith, he's taking some L's too.
Yeah, I was gonna say like Nick Cannon without the L's, because if you look at his positives, this man is an entrepreneur. You can't even put him in one category because he's so successful at so many different things. I don't even want to call this man a jack of all trades, because I feel like when you think of jack of all trades, you think of good or all, master of none. The guy is a multimillionaire. He's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur. He's an activist. He's given a lot of Black folks opportunities in businesses to make it. You know, like, you can't put this man in a box. He just has his hand. Like, he has a show right now on daytime television. It's like, yesterday this guy was on Wildin' Out. This guy's been in movies, you know, Hollywood. Like, he's everywhere. But because he has that mindset and work ethic to be the best at whatever he can, and even when he doesn't succeed in certain avenues, he doesn't let that stop him from moving on to the next thing. The man is still growing. You meet people who are 50 and you find out, and they're a business owner of this place, and you celebrate them because they're doing that. But what if they told you that at 25, 35, and 45, they were in this career, that career, I don't know, making $12 an hour doing that? You don't think about that because you're thinking about where they are now. It doesn't matter the path, and that's what I'm saying. It's just like, yeah, you know, it's the journey. It's not the destination, right?
And you're so right. You said it earlier. It's like if a genie came and said, all right, you got to fail 30 times, but on the 31st time, you're going to succeed. People would be like, all right, fuck it. Let me get these shots in. Right? Yeah. It would be a non, you would be like, okay, cool. Like, I know where this is headed. But because we don't have that access, we don't have a genie in a bottle telling us a magic answer, we can't see that in front of us. So we try 10, 20, sometimes we even try 29 times, but then we walk away without knowing that the success is right there. And I think if anyone could take anything away from my story, it's just that. It's just that I'm the guy who tried 31 times. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of experimentation, you know, a lot of, you know, unapologetic L's that have filled that time and that space. But I also say, right, like, you know, I didn't get into Harvard because I was good at one thing. I got into Harvard because I was able to share so many of my different passions and so many different facets. And I think that's the real takeaway, right? It's like, you know, rather than kind of slaving away at that one goal or being like, I'm just going to be the best student as possible, right? It's like, you just need to do you. And I think your passions will always reward you. Oh, you want to be viral on social media? You want clicks and likes? Just be authentic. Be you, be real, right? And it's like, and I always say, it's like, and that's also what gets the return, right? Like, that's what people are engaging with. You want to be the best journalist, right? Like, be honest with the person you're interviewing with. I always say the interview goes both ways. I'm asking you to share things about your personal life. I better be prepared to share personal things about mine. Obviously, there's a line that, you know, of professionalism, but at the same time, like, if I'm asking you to tell me about your darkest moment, well, you know what? I should be prepared to share mine, as long as it makes there's context to it, right? But it's just, you know, it allows the subject to understand that you're asking with purpose and compassion. You know, and that you can relate to their experience. And if you can relate to theirs and theirs can relate to you, it's just, right, this is how we grow as, you know, as people. But I say all that to say, you know, it's just, you know, embrace your passions, you know, honor your passions. Don't shy away from them. If you like something that, you know, is considered nerdy or not cool, man, forget it. Like, who cares? Does it make you happy? Go out there and do it and love it. And I promise everything you put love into, will put love back into you if you stay with it.
Exactly. And damn, I lost my train of thought, but yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Well said, Nico. It's crazy. I was like, when I went to this interview, I'm like, yo, this is probably gonna have to be broken into a two part season finale.
I love it.
We're just going right now.
Yo, and I will say, I'll let you hop back in, but just like on a closing note, right? Like we were talking about, like, you know, being inspired by people, right? And it's easy to be inspired by the people who are quote unquote above us, who have the job that we want, or the degree that we want, or the, you know, whatever. But the truth being is that I'm inspired by anyone who's pursuing their passion, mm-hmm. right? You could tell me you want to go out there and pick dandelions, but if you're out there on Instagram picking 100 dandelions a day, exactly. God damn, I'm going to be inspired by you, right? And that's going to rub off on me. You know, so I always say it's just a passion speaks. Mm-hmm. And to my point, I'll just say that, you know, you were saying that you were constantly inspired by me in the world of journalism. Well, I'm constantly inspired by you. I always see you as somebody who has the gift, right? You have this natural ability to just come in and interview somebody and be on camera and have all this poise, you know, and, I always feel like I'm like a manic mess. I'm just out here like jumping around. I'm rushing, and then I'm forgetting words. And like for me, it's like it's a real, like, I have to really work at finding my and getting my thoughts out and putting them on paper. And I just want to say, like, you know, I see someone like you who just walks in this space so effortlessly. And I'm constantly inspired by that. I mean, I'm watching this interview and I'm like, I'm over here, like, I'm taking notes. I'm like, damn, that was a good question. Damn, that was a good segue. Nah,
trust me, it's man, like, it's not effortless for me, Nico. And like, I cannot tell you even now, like, I am still looking up to you for, you know, mentorship and guidance. When I see you taking it upon yourself to go back to flight school to pursue your passion, to go back to school and get accepted to Harvard, letting me know, Rich, like, life doesn't stop here. You can keep growing. You can keep evolving. If you decide after a year or so, or tomorrow, hey, journalism's not for me anymore, you can still find joy and fulfillment in other avenues in life. Or you can have multiple passions. What matters is, do you believe in yourself, and are you willing to invest and apply that process and work ethic, even if you don't know how it's going to manifest? Because yeah, that's what I meant to add. Even if it's okay to not know how it's going to manifest, and it might not always manifest the way that you think it will, but it's okay, because it doesn't always have to be that way. You know, like and you are constantly reminding me of that. Like, it can play out in ways that doesn't have to be the way I originally thought, because as long as you have that positive attitude and the work ethic and respect the game and the process and do what's necessary, you're going to end up that you are going, the journey is going to lead you to a healthy destination. Don't get too caught up in the destination. Worry about creating a healthy journey and process. And then you'll get to that place eventually that's fitting for you. And you know that, that's your story just continues to push me to evolve. And it's awesome. Like, seriously, like, even going back to the beginning, one of the biggest turning points in my life was just seeing you doing your thing at the Boston Globe. And halfway through college, it was just like, man, you know, this guy's been doing that. This guy's been on the radio when he was in high school, and he moved himself up continually. And I'm like, Rich, like, that man's investing in his past. He's doing the damn thing. So, and at a high place, let's start putting in the work to start figuring out those small steps to get up there. And you've never stopped moving, you know, and that's the awesome thing. It doesn't matter what direction you're going in, as long as you're as long as you have the healthy process, you're going to get to healthy destinations. And it might not look like success to some people, but we know, but as long as we know internally that we're, that we, that those, cause like that, that we're going to a place that helps, those losses, we can build off those and they don't have to be permanent. For some, for them, it might be permanent. They might think it's permanent for us, but it's not permanent for us. It's the sting that's going to get us over that hump.
Yeah.
But man, Nico, I mean, we could,
On a closing note, it's funny, this conversation could go on for another 2 hours. Yeah. I love it. So, but I actually promised to keep it here. Yeah. I'll just say that, you know, the way I define success is, you know, kind of like that dandelions example, which is so silly, right? But are you doing what you set out to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you are doing what you set out to do, then you are successful. I don't describe myself as a successful person because I got into Harvard, or because I've been published here, or because, you know, or you make X amount of money. I describe myself as successful because I wanted to be a pilot my whole life, and now I'm flying planes. Mm-hmm. And so every day I go to bed and I say, all right, you've done it. You're doing it, I should say, not done it. You're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I operate with the confidence of a successful person. I think a lot of times we get caught up in these fake, or I would say superficial aspects of success. Without ever really asking ourselves, are we doing what we set out to do, right? Mm-hmm. Are we following our vision, our plan, our goal? And everything you're saying too is just so real, about, you know, staying hungry and, you know, just staying passionate. So, you know, we'll leave it there. I will just end, you know, by saying, you know, all these self-help books, you know, all these Instagram reels and TikToks about how to be successful, how to be a leader, you see in videos with Kevin Hart. I sent you one with from Steve Harvey the other day.
Yeah.
In it, he said all he wanted to do was be on television, but he didn't even get his first appearance until 36. And I'm like, Rich, I'm like, you're already on TV. You know what I mean? Like I know sometimes we always feel like we're not where we're supposed to be, or we're not, you know, and I'll look up to someone like Zolan and be like, damn, I'm not on CNN right now, so I'm a failure, right? Just mm-hmm. keeping it in the Cambridge family. But like at the end of the day, Steve Harvey is the GOAT, and he wasn't even getting plays, right, until he was 36 years old, right? And so we have time. Now all I'll say is all these videos, all these self-help books, all these motivational TikToks, it sounds corny, but they work.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to find the system that works best to you, right? Not everything. There may be 20 ideas out there. Find the three that work, but journaling, right? Visualizing, right? I think it's important that we write our goals down every day, not necessarily with pen and paper, but we need a visual reminder. Look at this. This is sitting on my desk right now. Look at this thing. You know why? Because I need to wake up and I need to see that every day. I need to see it. I need to see it, right? It's just a little toy, but I need to see it in my head, because for me, it gets me it inches me closer to my goal every single day. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all those things about that you'll read, that you'll see, you're going to dismiss them as corny, but they work. And if you trust that process, you know, you will become a better leader. You will find success. And you know, if you have the empathy to really listen, I think there's a lot of great lessons in there.
Absolutely. You're right, Nico. We could talk all night, so I won't take it any further than that, but man, this is going to be an epic two-part Rich in Facts season 2 finale that will drop in the month of May. I've got a plan for how I'm going to do May for, you know, this brand, but it's been an honor speaking with you, my friend. It's been a pleasure. Man, I'm like one of these days when I'm back in the villa, like, you know, we got to meet up in person, you know, get something to drink.
Less. You know, Dave Chappelle, he said, us black actors got to stick together, man.
Hey, oh my God. No.
And the Wayne Brady skit, but yeah, I'm with you.
I was just watching Controversies, but I was just watching Dave Chappelle's skit where he was with Chris Tucker and they ran into OJ and they was trying, and them two were caught up on the down. OJ's trying to get a picture of it, and they're like, nah, like, you stay at it. But yeah, man, like, yo, oh man. I was like, yo, just as long as we ain't kicking with nobody in Cambridge, you got any allegations right now? Cause I can't be in none of those selfies on camera. I mean, I don't want to get that call from work.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Nico, man. It's been
an honor. This is a pleasure, man. This didn't even feel like a podcast, man. It's just I was just catching up, talking about life, you know.
Just catching up with an old friend. I'll let you know when this is dropping, but man, I've wanted to do this for months, so I'm so glad we finally got a chance to sit together, man. Thank you for your time, bro.
Of course.
You know, congratulations on getting to Harvard, Cambridge native, man. Doing the damn thing, following his passion. I already got the title for this in my head, by the way, but yeah.
Let's go.
Let me put the pen down for now, and then I'll pick it up when it's time to release it, Nico. But man, you have
no rush, no rush. All right.
What's up with you, man?
I'll see you on the TV.
No doubt, man. I'm going to see you up in the air, man. I'm going to see you up in the air.
I love it.
All the way up, my brother. All the way up.
All right. Peace.
Peace out.